Here we go into a sports weekend. The work week is done. You can start putting that work away. Even if you're supposed to be there till 5 o'clock, you've got my permission. Wrap it up. Go home. Have the boss call me. It's the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump, along with Caleb Hatch. We're glad to have you on board. Of course, our Parkview Sports Medicine text line is 46862, and it's how you can stay connected with the show. Big show up until 6 o'clock. We're going to be talking later this hour with Fort Wayne great Austin Mack, now playing for the New York Giants as a wide receiver. Of course, for those of you that aren't familiar with the history of Austin Mack, he was a standout at Bishop Lures. Went on to Ohio State, had some injury issues at Ohio State, trouble staying on the field, but when he was on the field, he was a very productive wide receiver. It earned him a shot at signing a free agent deal with the New York Giants, and he impressed the Giants, earned his spot. He's now on the roster with the New York Giants, and he's coming back to give to his hometown. And starting tomorrow, it is Mack Fest happening right here in the Summit City, all types of events. In fact, something happening with players like Jalen Smith, Jesse Bates, professional bowler E.J. Tackett. We'll tell you what's happening. There's some fun events going on this weekend and throughout the week to get through Mack Fest, and we'll talk about that with Austin Mack himself coming up about 30 minutes from now. Also on the way in our next hour, Justin Cohn joins us. Of course, tonight, the Comets get the series started with the Allen Americans down in Texas, and we'll get the preview with Justin Cohn from the Journal-Gazette coming up at 5:20 this afternoon. Once again, 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Buzz us what's on your mind. Also, you can follow us on social media. Check us out on Twitter. We are at 1380 The Fan, at SportsRush 1380, at Brett Rump Sports, and at Caleb Hatch. Also, make sure you check us out on our podcast form. If you ever miss any part of the show, you can always keep up and make sure you follow us for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you can't find it, just search for The Sports Rush with Brett Rump, or you can get quick access by going to our website at 1380thefan.com. Last night, Tin Caps, Game 3 of their six-game series against the Dayton Dragons. It's the affiliates of the Padres and the Reds, which, of course, ironically enough, are playing this weekend out in San Diego. But last night, Tin Caps bats were silent in a very brisk moving game. 2-0, the Tin Caps lose to Dayton. They've now lost the first three of this series by a whopping total of 5 total runs, 2 1-run losses, and now the 2-0 loss last night. They'll try to get things turned around with Moises Lugo on the mound tonight against the Dragons. And, of course, game time at 7:05. That means John Nolan and Jack McMullen with the savory voices hitting your airwaves at 6:45 with the Hoopy Insurance Services pregame show. We've got Tin Caps baseball tonight, tomorrow night, and then on Sunday afternoon to wrap up the series at Dayton. And then the Tin Caps will be on the road back to South Bend next week. But last night, yeah, it was interesting because we had a scheduling conflict. And so I got my first experience of being a board producer, a studio engineer. You know, I keep hearing the title studio engineer, and I thought, man, this might be something I want to check out. I want to be a studio engineer. And so last night I decided to ask someone who was in the building, Heather Starr, who's familiar with running the buttons and pushing the buttons and playing the music and hitting the rejoins and doing all those fun things you do to put on a Tin Caps broadcast behind the scenes. I said, will you show me how to do this? And by the way, Caleb, I don't know if you realize this, but it shocked our program director. I don't know if you talked to the program director today, but
not about that because I was in early this morning. But I was stunned. I would have done it, but I simply could not because A, I'm not trained for Tin Caps, and B, I record my podcast Thursday night, so I simply didn't have the time.
I wanted to be a T player.
Yeah,
I was trying to help and do my part. I know that everybody had conflicts on their schedules, so I thought, teach me how to do it. I'll sit there and do it. And so now I thought it was going to be about a 30-minute gig, but it ended up being about a 2-hour job. In fact, I got all the way, I think, to almost the 8th inning. It was either the bottom of the 7th inning or the 8th inning. And once I got into it, and with a rapid-moving game, it was kind of fun because, you know, you go through the game, and of course, I listened to the game more often than not anyway. So listening was not any big deal. But the fun of doing a Tin Caps game is on rejoins, you get to pick what music is played as the background music that sends it back to the play-by-play broadcaster. And so I'm going through the music library. Now, at our radio station, we've got WMEE, K105, Big 92.3, 98.9 The Bear. We've got some great stations with some incredible music. And so our music library is rather extensive. And so I'm going through and finding all these songs. There are not enough innings in a single Tin Caps game for me to play all the songs I wanted to play last night. So, Caleb, I might have to come back. I might have to come to a Tin Caps game again just to play some of the songs I wanted to play. And even though you only play 8 or 9 seconds of it, you feel like you're branding yourself onto the broadcast by what music you're selecting to send it back.
Did you play any Don Henley?
I did not play Don Henley. Is that a request for the next game,
yeah,
Caleb?
Yeah, Boys of Summer, Don Henley. That's a request.
Okay, that one I'll take requests.
By John Mellencamp or John Cougar Mellencamp,
well, I did have
depending
a Mellencamp
on the year.
Song.
Okay.
Which
okay.
one did you want?
Jack and Diane, the classic.
That's the one I had.
Awesome.
But
Peter
but,
Gabriel, Sledgehammer?
No, I did not have Peter Gabriel. But I will say, let me tell you this. You know the song Life is a Highway?
Yeah.
Okay, who sings it?
Not the country band.
Okay.
But I don't know who actually.
Okay. See, now that's where you show your age, because if you're my generation, you remember Todd Cochran
as the
artist of Life is a Highway. If you are in the 20s and 30s, you might remember Rascal Flatts' version of Life is a Highway. And it's not Rascal Flatts that I played last night. And I fooled Jack McMullen because he called it as Rascal Flatts. I said, oh, you youngin'. No. I went the original. I went Todd Cochran. But yeah, we had some fun last night. So I didn't have Peter Gabriel. I did have Mellencamp. I had Jack and Diane queued up, ready to go. But the producer finally had his scheduling conflict fixed and was able to make it in late in the game, so never played it last night.
Any Stevie Ray Vaughan?
No, but you know what I did do? I was also getting into kind of theme titles. You know, Heather was giving me some tips and said, depending on the situation in the game, you might play certain songs. And I said, that's a good idea. I'm going to try that. So the next inning, when the Tin Caps came up to bat, and of course they're getting beat 2-0, I played Michael Jackson, Wanna Be Starting Something. Say, because want to be starting something, need to get a rally going, need to get some kind of offense. Yeah, I might win a company award now, Caleb. You know, I've never won a company award. Never, hardly ever get nominated. But I think now my one night of Tin Caps baseball might actually win me an award, because, man, I was just on fire last night. 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. There's probably a lot of people that listen to this show and probably think I'm sure you're better at that than you are actually broadcasting the game.
I will say, with picking the music, it is a Spider-Man situation. With great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's like being the program director for a Tin Caps broadcast. I mean, you're picking all the music and you're thinking, okay, is this one going to fit the situation? Is this one going to appeal to our target audience? I don't want to button push. I don't want somebody to go away and listen to some other station. I want to stick with Tin Caps baseball. It's very high pressure to come up with exactly the right music. But I will say this, Caleb, in all humility, I nailed it. I was absolutely on fire last night. Give me a fire emoji for that performance.
He's on fire.
He's on fire. The by the way, you were here late too. Everybody seemed to be here late last night. I didn't realize how late you're here on Thursday.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We start in quotation marks at about 6:30, but really we start, you know, between 6:45 and 7:00, and then our episodes are lengthy. So I mean they're usually hour and a half, hour 45, up to 2 hours.
That was a surprising thing.
Yeah, I'm lucky to get out of here by, you know, if I'm out of here by 9:00, that's kind of my goal.
I figured anything 30 to 45 minute episode, you're going to be done by 7:30.
No.
And it's like, see, because we share the phone line, so I can tell over in the other studio that you're still on the line doing your show. I suppose Justin was on the phone last night.
Yeah, yeah. He is not feeling well, so he was at home yesterday. He's at home today, so.
And so, well, and basically, I noticed that you were here late, and then I saw you actually leave before you took off from the building, and you beat me out of the building, even with a two-hour podcast. You beat me out of the building by about 15 minutes. But Tin Caps, we'll try again tonight at Dayton. Tune in for Tin Caps Baseball this weekend. Also, the Bucks stay alive. How about the Milwaukee Bucks? And Caleb, once again, we are just absolutely nailing it with some of the calls we're making on NBA basketball, because I believe it was you that said Chris Middleton isn't even a two. He's not a Robin. He's at best a number three guy on the roster. And what did he do last night? Oh, all he did was go for 34 points. He was huge in a fourth quarter run. 38 points. He was 11 of 16 from the field, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. He was the star of the night, and Milwaukee stays alive. So once again,
I just would like to say, Chris Middleton, congratulations. I'm glad I could light a fire under you to get you motivated. I mean, he's had, what, three straight pretty big games now, I believe, in the series. So if he plays like that as a true number two, who can sometimes, you know, outplay Giannis every, you know, every handful of games, I mean, they have a legitimate shot. But game seven, I still don't like their chances.
There's just a lot of number twos where you go into a game and you just feel like you can't count on them. Paul George is an example of that number two. You know, with the Pacers, it's like, I don't even know who the number two is. Is Sabonis number one? And then your number two is what? Brogdon?
LeVert?
But,
I guess.
But are they consistent
enough? The problem,
that's why they're a number two, because they're not a 25, 26 point a night guy. They're the guy that will go for 30, but then could easily go for 16 or 17.
The Pacers roster, the issue is they have a lot of guys that are essentially Chris Middleton, really solid players who could maybe be an all-star, but they're not a go-to guy. And the Pacers don't really have that. And even Kevin Pritchard said, you know, when they fired Nate Bjorkgren and he had that presser the other week, basically said, I've asked guys to step up. We'll see what happens, because they need that. They don't have that guy.
Is Turner and Lamb for Bradley Beal too much to offer?
I think the Pacers would have to offer a lot more than that to get Bradley Beal, honestly.
I mean, I don't know what the offer would be, but apparently Bradley Beal is wanting out of Washington. Now, the question is, if he came to Indiana, would he be willing to sign a long-term deal in Indiana? Because I don't know that he'd do that either. But I just think, boy, Bradley Beal would be so nice to have on the Pacers roster. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. So last night you had Brooklyn, and here's what happened with Milwaukee having the lead and Brooklyn having to chase. Brooklyn went through a lot of energy just trying to get this game close. And eventually they got to within 5 points. I think it was 82-77, early fourth quarter. But then at that point, Milwaukee went on a blitz and outscored Brooklyn 14-0. And I think at that point, Brooklyn all of a sudden realized just how tired they were, because I think they wore down. You know, they're not playing a deep bench. They've got fewer guys they can play, and people are having to play heavier minutes because of the injury situation. And I think we saw that exposed maybe in that stretch in the fourth quarter. And eventually Milwaukee went on to a fairly easy win. And so now you go to the game seven. And I guess the question is going to be what to expect from game seven, because at this point I'm almost clueless. You know, you've used the phrase so often, Caleb, consistently inconsistent. That's pretty much my picks on the NBA this playoff season. So I'm at a point where I don't know. Can you get a repeat performance from Chris Middleton like that? Can Kevin Durant come back and resurface with a 49-point effort? Can Jeff Green hit seven threes? It's, you know, you've got so many variables here. Will James Harden appear to be more healthy and be able to explode to the rim and start to get his legs on his jump shot? I mean, those are all factors that are going to weigh into what happens in a game seven in Brooklyn. So I have no idea on this one how to pick it. I really am kind of clueless going into this game seven, but we'll see what happens. They're going to play game seven tomorrow. We also have a big game six coming up tonight. The Hawks with a chance to eliminate the Sixers. We'll talk more about that one coming up later. Also, Utah visits the LA Clippers trying to stay alive after the Clippers got the win in Utah in Game 5. The Clippers come into tonight with that 3-2 lead. And we'll talk more about that one as well. Also on the way, we've got Austin Mack joining us later this hour. We've got Justin Cohn from the Journal-Gazette joining us in our second hour. You're listening to a Friday edition of The Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to The Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix 4 to 6, just minutes away from having Austin Mack, former Bishop Lewis star, former Ohio State wide receiver, now New York Giants wide receiver, remembering his hometown back here in Fort Wayne and putting on MacFest. It is starting tomorrow and plenty of great events that will be happening. We'll talk about the purpose of it and some of the highlights of the events with Austin Mack himself coming up in about 12 minutes from now. For those of you south of us, I know there's some storms rolling in. You know, Caleb, today I was mentioning this earlier. This is like your traditional spring storms type of day. Usually a day like today would happen somewhere in mid to late May or so. It just seems like it's pretty late into the season. I guess it's spring storm still because summer doesn't officially start until what, next week?
No, it starts Sunday at 11:32 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time.
So we just squeaked in these storms to classify them as spring storms. But for those of you down in Jay County, there's a tornado warning, and we just saw pictures on social media of the tornado. Now, I don't know if it's if the warning is still on, because sometimes you're a little behind on social media, but already there's pictures that are posted on social media, and yes, that is a tornado. So please be safe if you're south of Fort Wayne right now as those storms pass through. 46862 Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. So who has the most pressure on them this season in the NFL? A lot of quarterbacks on the move, and so you've got players that you think, well, they have pressure on them because so much is expected. Guys like Trevor Lawrence, the number one overall pick. Aaron Rodgers, wherever he may end up, will he have pressure on him after having such a tumultuous offseason? Zach Wilson, taking over the New York Jets, taking over for Sam Darnold, playing in New York City. What about Sam Darnold? Is there pressure on him in Carolina? Matt Stafford, moving from Detroit, now going to the Rams, where the Rams think this type of move elevates them to perhaps an NFC championship contender. What about Carson Wentz? Is he one of the guys that you would consider to have the most pressure on them for this season? Well, there's a lot of candidates, but you know what? It's not a player. No, in the NFL, the person with the most pressure this season resides in New England. You know, for years we've debated the question, who makes who between Bill Belichick and Tom Brady? And last year, we feel like we maybe got a glimpse of our answer. Tom Brady goes to a new team, elevates them to Super Bowl champion, and celebrates with the Lombardi Trophy while Bill Belichick finishes sub-500 in New England. There it is. There's your answer. It's clear as day. Tom Brady made New England all those years of success. It was not Bill Belichick. Well, Bill Belichick's a very proud coach. And he also, I think his ego is going to want to bounce back and prove something this year. And how did his ego respond? Well, first of all, he decided to go out and spend as much of Robert Kraft's money to get the greatest talent he could get into New England. So they spent more money in free agency than anyone else. And we can give him a little bit of a break for last year. It's a little bit of a mulligan. There was COVID. There were more players that opted out of New England than any other team. But certainly Bill Belichick is looking for a response this year. And if he doesn't respond this year and they have another sub-500 year and Tom Brady continues to have success in Tampa Bay, what's it mean for the history, and how does history look upon Bill Belichick? But, you know, he went out, he drafted a quarterback, something that the Patriots just don't do. I mean, there's a lot of things the Patriots have done this offseason that are out of character with the amount of money they've spent in free agency, because what have the Patriots always done? What's been the Patriots' way? Caleb, you know as much as I do. The Patriots' way is to develop talent, build talent. When they get too expensive, let them move on and replace that talent. That's always been their MO. This year, they've reversed it. And that's why I think Bill Belichick has some desperation here, because now he's going out and buying talent to get talent back.
Or the other thing they do is bring in talented players who are either dissatisfied with their situation or the organization is dissatisfied with them, and bring them in on the cheap to essentially rehab their image and get them back to the level they want to be.
Yes. And so to go out and actually spend on targeted free agents that you want, certainly not the history of the New England Patriots. So that's why I started to think Bill Belichick is showing that he has a little desperation here, that he wants to prove something. And I would imagine his ego has taken a real hit over this last year, watching Tom Brady win the Super Bowl while his team was sub 500. But, you know, just for that reason, keep an eye on New England, because I think there's that extra motivation. They've brought in an influx of talent. They do remember get what, 9 players, I think, that opted out from their roster on COVID. And I don't know what type of quarterback Mac Jones is going to be, and I don't know if Cam Newton can have a bounce back year, but I certainly think it's going to be better than it was a year ago. But Bill Belichick, I think, is wanting to come out fighting, and I think it'll be an interesting season in New England because of it. And I think there's a lot of pressure on Bill Belichick after what Tom Brady was able to accomplish with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Big series starts tonight in Allen. Last time the Comets and Allen faced off in a series, 2016, and it was Allen that took the series 4-1. So the Comets have some payback to do with Allen. And this has been a team that's played as well as anybody in the ECHL over the last month of the season, including a 3-0 sweep of Utah to open things up in the Kelly Cup playoffs. So tonight the Comets will be on the road looking for a Game 1 victory at Allen. Whoa, 1190 AM and 107.5 FM. That's where you go for the call and the action of the Comets all playoffs long, including tonight with Shane Alberani on the call. What time is that game tonight?
8:05 puck drops.
8:05 puck drops. So about 7:50, the pregame show with Shane Alberani on Whoa. We're going to take a quick time out. We're going to be coming back. Of course, we've got Austin Mack. He is putting on MackFest, trying to give back to his community. I love when players do this, when they don't forget where they came from. They're in a position where they can use their name and use their platform to try to do good for the community. And Austin Mack is doing just that. We'll talk about MackFest. What is it? And what are some of the events that are going to be taking place over the next week? We'll find out with Austin Mack himself when the Sports Rush returns on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Big show on a Friday on the Sports Rush. I am Brett Rump along with Caleb Hatch. Coming up on the show in our next hour, we're going to break down the Comets and Allen American series that starts tonight. Justin Cohn from the Journal Gazette will join us. Right now, we've got something new in Fort Wayne. Always great when our athletes that go on to bigger and better things, especially at the professional level, come back and do something for the city. And one of those joins us now on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. New York Giants wide receiver Austin Mack. He's getting set to put on MackFest. We're going to get all the details. Austin, good afternoon.
What's going on? Good afternoon.
Hey, it's great to talk to you. And of course, having the chance to break in with the New York Giants and play in New York City. You know, for a kid from Fort Wayne going to New York City, I would imagine it was an adjustment somewhat just to get used to the city and the environment, let alone professional football.
Yeah, but you gotta remember, man, I had a pandemic going into my rookie year, so I didn't really get to experience too much of the city. You know, but it's gorgeous, man. It's great views. It's great energy. Definitely something I want to experience a little bit more.
You know, that's funny. It doesn't intimidate you then. You actually like Bring It On, huh?
Oh, absolutely. It's definitely really cool. I can't, you know, it's not as fun as Fort Wayne.
Yeah, there's great. Nothing to do in New York City, Austin. I don't know if you know that yet, but there's nothing to do.
Yeah, no. It's good. It's all good fun.
I mean, the one thing about Fort Wayne, you can stay out of trouble pretty easy because there's not much to do. Hey, Austin, of course, you went to Ohio State, and at Ohio State had a chance to kind of see firsthand what Justin Fields can do. And I'm just curious to get your thoughts on Justin Fields' situation in Chicago, and what can the Bears expect from their new highly drafted quarterback?
Yeah, man. It's awesome first off for Justin to get picked up by them. I'm so happy for him. Just from somebody that observed him, an older guy when he came in and had to take the role as starting quarterback for the Buckeyes. Man, he was just determined. He was serious, and he brought, you know, forth just the right attitude. So I just know with his work ethic and his determination and overall his just raw ability, he's going to be able to go in there and hopefully do what he's made to do. He's a hell of a ball player, and I think nothing but the high things for him.
What about Urban Meyer going to Jacksonville? Of course, Colts fans are thinking, oh, he's in our division now. We better be prepared for what's going to happen down in Jacksonville. They get Trevor Lawrence, obviously, with the number one pick. But having played for Urban Meyer and having been recruited by him, a lot of questions are, can he transition from dealing with college athletes to pro athletes? You have now been both. I guess, what are your thoughts on that transition for Coach Urban Meyer?
Yeah, I just think, you know, something he does really well is kind of create a culture, create a great environment, you know, just for, you know, athletes who want to compete at a high level. And he brings that competition every single day to practice. So, you know, I think he's just going to change that culture in Jacksonville, and I think there's a lot of upside for them. He's a hell of a coach. You know, one of my best friends, man, I'd say my best coach I ever had, you know what I mean? Somebody that really kind of left a lot on me and in my heart, and it's a guy you know, I really appreciate. So I think he's going to do a really good job, and excited for him.
That's pretty high praise. And, you know, I think we all wonder from the outside when someone goes to Ohio State, if you just work with your position coach or if you actually do in a program like Ohio State, build a relationship with the head coach. And it sounds like you had a pretty special relationship with Urban Meyer.
Oh, absolutely. That was my guy. Anything you ever needed, he helped me with. He's going to be one of the guys that's not only coaching you the hardest, but expecting the most from you and demanded the most. So, you know, this is somebody you wanted to play for. And that was a guy, you know, I absolutely wanted to go out there and play my hardest for. So he's definitely a good guy, great coach, and I hope the best for him.
Talking to Austin Mack, former Bishop Lure star, Ohio State wide receiver, now New York Giant. Okay, Austin, let's get to MacFest. And obviously, with the first ever MacFest, you want to do something to give back to your community. Tell me, what is it and what's the purpose of MacFest?
Yeah, so it kind of just came around, you know, a whole idea with me, Jalen, and Jesse. I wanted to find something that we all really enjoy and bring it back to the community, and something that we always did since there's so much stuff to do in Fort Wayne, right? We all bowl at Thunderbolt. So we all love to bowl. And so on Sunday, it's a two-day series, but it really started with this idea of a bowling event. So for us, we're having an invite only to a bunch of youth kids on Sunday to have a nice, really fun bowling event. And I think it would be great. Right? If we partner with a few young youth organizations in the city, we're going to have pizza. It's going to be great. The fun part of the event and the part that I've been, you know, kind of promoting the most is tomorrow on Juneteenth. The idea actually came from a few seniors here in the city. I got the opportunity to meet with them, Destiny Jackson, Deuce Taylor, and they've been trying to plan to do a Rucker Park kind of theme all-star showcase. Fort Wayne, Indiana is such a big hoops state already. Mm-hmm. But this would be an awesome, you know, opportunity, an awesome kind of event. So we're putting together an all-star kind of showcase. We got a DJ, got an MC. It's going to be at McMillan, so it's going to be great energy, good vibes. The Juneteenth Collaborative, which is a group of organizations in the city, are already putting on amazing events throughout the week. They're going to have a nice promenade, going to the park at McMillan, a cool little concert, quick little show. They'll have vendors. They'll have food trucks, a bunch of just great vibes. And then right after that, right around 2:30, the MacFest is going to start, which is going to be, the showcase from 2:30 to 6. We'll have a girls' game. We'll have a boys' game. We even have, one of my cool good friends, Mecca Don from Columbus, Ohio, come in to perform during one of the halftime. We'll even have a sign-up sheet for anybody that want to compete in a knockout contest in between the games. So it's going to be awesome. It's going to be great energy, and I hope everybody can make it.
That sounds fantastic. And I want to talk a little bit about the bowling, because you got my attention when you said that you, Jalen, and Jesse all love to bowl. So who's the best bowler? Who's got bragging rights?
I'm always say I got bragging rights, but I have lost to both of them. They've lost to me as well. You know, they might say otherwise, but I think it's going to be great. We even invited E.J. Tackett, who is a pro bowler out of Huntington, and he's going to be able to make it, and I think he's bringing another guy with him. So there's going to be some good competition there, you know what I mean? So it's going to be good fun.
What is the message you're trying to either get out or get to the youth? What's the purpose, I guess, the end result that you want to see out of putting on MacFest?
You know, first off, you know, I forget the percentage, but it's a small percentage of athletes who ever even make it to the NFL and make it to the next level, the highest level. And, you know, we're operating at a level of success and greatness that's, you know, it's hard to see. And you come from cities like Fort Wayne. So for us, we want to come back and be with them, be able to create that environment, be able to be around each of these kids and kind of inspire them, you know, as best we can. You know, so much that we can do that I'd love to do last year that I wasn't able to because of COVID. So now that I'm able to come back and be face-to-face with kids and see where, you know, just kind of just be back in their presence, that's, I think, the biggest thing. My overall kind of purpose and goal with this is kind of bring focus to Juneteenth and the celebration of Juneteenth. You know, bringing the community together, you know, just celebrating, you know, love and happiness, truth, and overall just helping the community as best we can. So,
you know, I was kind of thinking about this, Austin. It's too bad that we don't have jerseys for bowling. Because I you know, I think you should print a number 54 jersey for Jalen just to present it to him. Just you know, and then if he doesn't like it, you could always make a deal with him because I think he'll pay some money to get that number 9.
yeah, absolutely. I feel like he has quite a bit of extra 54 jerseys that might be able to steal and just change the print on him, honestly, but... We'll have to have that conversation with him.
Are you sticking with your number? You're not gonna do anything crazy and change numbers, are you?
Oh no! I'm rocking this 81 for the Giants.
All right, because you know it's funny because when you put on the 81, it's like okay, we've never seen Austin Mack wear a number like that. You know, I could see Austin in a 1, I could see him in an 11, I could see, you know, but 81. Right. So you've kind of grown to like it.
Oh yeah, and I mean, there's a lot of legends, and you know, Mr. Toomer is the biggest one from the Giants, the last year of the 81. So it's a lot of legacy with the numbers. So you know, I'm a Rocky. I still got a 1 in the digit. You know what I mean? The 1, the 11, the 81. The 11 is retired for the Giants, man. Phil Simms took that already.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I got to create my own destiny. You know what I mean? So. Just going to do the best I can.
Do you have a role model in the NFL, either current or former?
Yeah, man. Larry Fitzgerald, that was my idol. That is my idol. You know, we actually played the Cardinals rush, and I had a chance to meet him. And it was just, it's surreal when you get to, you know, see those people and work with them on a daily and be able to see, you know, what it means to be a pro and be around those guys. I mean, it's so inspiring. It's almost, you know, the words can't even describe it, right? So it's an honor and a pleasure when I actually got to meet him. But that Larry Legend, man, that's the guy I've always tried to be like and loved watching growing up.
Is there anything about being a pro athlete that surprised you? And I mean, where I'm going with this question is I think a lot of the real pros that are the best pros, the ones that really stand out and separate themselves, they are so committed 24/7, not just during the season, but every day, 365. They have a commitment to their bodies, to the game, to their physical stature. I mean, it just seems like there is a different level when you get to a Larry Fitzgerald than a lot of the guys that come into the NFL and almost feel privileged. And you know, is that something that you've seen or you've witnessed or has changed you?
You know, you kind of get the feel of what it means to be a pro going through like a system and a program like Ohio State with the Urban Meyer culture, because you saw year in and year out, we're putting out 15 plus, you know, guys every single year into the NFL, and people are being successful, right? So I kind of got groomed through that, right? This is the way you have to act. This is the way you have to, you know, strive every single day. You got to take care of your body. You got to work hard. You got to practice your craft, right? All these things are kind of gone into, I learned seeing through, you know, college. You kind of got a sense of it. Last year, when I finally got to the NFL and I kind of got my feet wet, you know, you really saw where the difference was, where you see the guys who are doing the extra and you see the guys that are taking care of their body, staying on the field, being able to play a full NFL season. And so you kind of get to see that and understand it full circle. But that's definitely something I try and strive every single day to be the best that I can.
Boy, that is an amazing point, that coming from a program that has so much success of athletes moving on to the pros, that you get to learn what it takes even before you get there to right. be at that level. Fantastic point. All right, Austin, is there a website or any place to go, Facebook page, anything that people can go to get information on this?
Absolutely. You guys can just go to my social media, Austin_Mac11, Instagram and Twitter. And I have put out multiple promotions and information to let everybody know where to go tomorrow. McMillan Park, the course from 2:30 to 6 tomorrow. And I've also have done some cool interviews with a few leaders, black leaders in the community in Fort Wayne. So I have all that kind of stuff on my page. So if anybody has a chance, definitely feel free to check that out.
Well, I can speak for the community of Fort Wayne. Thank you for coming back and doing something for the children in this community. Also, best of luck with the Giants this year. Appreciate it a whole lot, Austin. Thanks.
Hey, I appreciate you guys having me.
That is Austin Mack joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. New York Giants wide receiver, number 81, Austin Mack. We'll take a break. We're going to come back. We've got plenty more on this Friday edition of the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump with Caleb Hatch. How great was Austin Mack? Wasn't that fantastic getting a chance to touch base with Austin Mack? Just down to earth. Just seemed like a really good guy. Well-spoken, everything he talked about, he conveyed really well. And it's great to have a guy like Austin Mack come back to our city, do things to try to give back to the youth in this community. And, you know, it might be worth the price of admission, Caleb, just to go watch Austin Mack, Jalen Smith, and Jesse Bates bowl together. Might have to, you know, maybe I should talk to my friends at FanDuel and see if we can get odds on that, just to maybe try to, you know, stir things up a little bit. I know this, EJ Tackett is your odds on favorite to win. But boy, it was fun talking to Austin Mack. We'll hope to talk to him again. Coming up in our next hour, we'll talk to Justin Cone because it is opening night of the Western Conference Finals. The Comets take on the Allen Americans tonight down in Texas. And we'll talk about a preview of this series with Justin Cone coming up at 5:20. You're listening to a Friday edition of the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Podcasts by Federated Media.